This is an IELTS Energy Podcast, episode 89, the top five myths that bad IELTS teachers tell you. You are listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. We believe in connection, not perfection, and we're here to show you how to get the score that you need on your next IELTS exam. Get started with our seven easy steps to a seven or higher at allearsenglish.com/SEVEN. Now, let's get to the show. In today's IELTS Energy episode, we're going to talk about the five worst pieces of advice that teachers give you because they don't know anything about IELTS. Hey, Jessica, how's it going?
Fantastic. It is finally a cloudy day here, and I am not just like sitting in my sweat. So that is a wonderful feeling. And you, Lindsay?
Good. I'm gearing up for an exciting weekend. It is going to be sunny and beautiful. I'm going to go hiking and go to a party. It's going to be fantastic.
Oh,
it should be great. Yeah. How about you? What are you going to do this weekend? What's up?
Well, working with IELTS, of course. And then my family is going on vacation to Arizona. I'm so excited. This is like
wonderful.
1 week every year. All of the kids and grandkids, everybody gets together and just swims and hikes and hangs out and eats a lot. It's going to be awesome.
Fantastic. Yeah. That sounds awesome. I hope you have a great time. That sounds great.
It's very cool. Super excited. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, very cool. Let's get into it, Jessica. So today we're going to talk about the myths that students are hearing from IELTS teachers or non-IELTS teachers, right?
Yeah.
So I got an email this morning from an IELTS teacher who said that he feels that his student needs to speak British English on the exam and she doesn't have enough British English resources. I got nervous about this. So why is this teacher giving the wrong information to his student?
Oh, goodness. I mean, you know, I feel bad. Like, I don't want to blame the teachers because, I mean, you and I have both worked in language schools, especially language schools abroad, where there are expectations that are not realistic for teachers, right?
That's right.
Especially if it's run by a business person and not an education person, then the business person is just like, oh, I have a teacher. Okay. You can do anything. I'm going to give you this class.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good point. Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. The business-oriented schools are not, they're thinking in terms of business, not in terms of education.
And that drives me crazy. Yeah. But yeah, exactly. Yeah. At the same time, like, if you want to be a responsible teacher, then you need to do your research. And if she's spending, sorry to this teacher, but if she's like spending her time emailing us, maybe she could have gone to IELTS.org and done some research. I don't know.
That's right. But, you know, like,
as we've said before, it took me, you know, at least a year to feel confident in my IELTS knowledge as a teacher. So it does take a long time to
get to know this test. Yeah. So we're here to let our listeners know how to be smart about choosing their teacher, how to be smart about choosing their course, and how to rock this test.
Yeah.
Just do better on this test and not fall into the typical traps that a lot of IELTS students do. So to that end, Jessica, let's ask the question today. What are those myths? What are those top five myths
that
teachers tell their students?
Yeah. So all five of these guys either came directly from teachers or from students on our course emailing us, like, my teacher said this, is this true? Or it has come from my personal experience teaching alongside others who did not know the test. And I've actually heard people say this. Okay. So the first one is the one that Lindsay just mentioned, that you need to have British English. Like, firstly, guys, I want to get rid of that myth that American English and British English are like completely different languages.
Let's bust this myth right now.
That drives me crazy. Like, when people are like, especially, I don't know, because I have, you know, I know lots of people from South Africa and England and stuff, and they love to make fun of American English, be like, why do you do this? And I'm like, you know what? Most of the time, we speak exactly the same.
It's basically very similar. It's the same language in the end, right? We're talking about English here. Yes. Yes.
Oh, it is not that big a deal. Okay. But if you are worried, Don't worry, okay? Because IELTS is International English. International English. So it doesn't matter if you are spelling color with a U or with just an O, okay? Right. It doesn't matter. As long as your answer in speaking, writing, reading, listening, as long as your answer is correct in British or American English, you are fine.
Right. Okay? And clearly we're not expecting students to go into the speaking test and start speaking with a British accent. I think that might be what this teacher thought. I think that's was asking me. I don't know what he was thinking, but obviously that's not the case, right? That's not part of the pronunciation score, I don't think.
No. Oh, goodness. No. You know what? Honestly, like, I've known people from, especially, you know, like Northern England, where it's, you know, the accent changes into Scottish at some point. Those accents are so strong. I don't even know if that native accent would get a 9 because some American examiners couldn't understand them. So, you know, accent isn't the thing. It's being understood.
Okay.
As long as you could be understood, you can get at least a 7. You know,
awesome.
If you can be understood and use some emotion in your voice, I guarantee you a 7 for pronunciation.
Yeah. And we actually did do an entire episode on this topic a few months back, guys. So if you want to come back and learn more about this, go to IELTS.allearsenglish.com and you can read more in depth. But the important thing here, Jessica, that we had talked about a few months ago is being able to understand your teacher so that you learn the strategies that you really need, right?
Right. And that's the other thing. Yeah. Make sure your teacher's accent is okay for you. Make sure that you can understand them and make sure they understand the test. Because like we said, all of these things have come from teachers who say that they're teaching IELTS and they're not, right?
Right.
So,
okay.
So more about the speaking thing. There's another myth about how speaking and writing, right? Mm-hmm. So we talk a lot about how making stuff up is awesome for the test and speaking
creative and
writing.
And fun. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So on the speaking test, you could just make up an answer, like the first thing that comes to mind, because speaking is better than pausing and not speaking, right? Yeah. So just say the first thing that comes to mind and just, you know, have fun with it. Yeah. And on writing, you need to make up some research in writing task 2. It makes your essay stronger. These things are fantastic to do on the test, and they definitely lead to higher grades. So if a teacher is telling you not to do this, they are lowering your grade. Like, they are taking points away from you.
Ouch. And we had this conversation a few weeks ago too. We had a teacher, a listener of ours had written in and had said that her teacher had told her not to make up facts. And that is just blatantly wrong.
Yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. And I mean, geez, if I, you know, think about teaching in an IELTS class, like, this is one of the funnest activities we do is like practicing, you know, making up research, making up ideas for speaking. So that teacher's losing out on a fun class.
Yeah. Don't miss out on the fun part of IELTS. Be creative, guys.
Right.
You know, put a smile on the examiner's face because you'll be more likely to increase your score with that sense of camaraderie that you're going to build with the examiner if you are spontaneous and able to create those ideas on the fly.
Totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you look at the descriptors for speaking and writing, there's nothing in there to be like, you must give a 5 because the person lied. Like, how do I know if you're lying?
Right.
Right? Like, that's not my job. Yeah.
And who cares? Okay. You're communicating. It's communication. It's not about, this is not a legal class. I'm not talking about, this is not a class in integrity or in.
You're not like swearing in on the Bible or the Quran or something before you're taking the test. Like, you're fine.
This is not ethics 101, right?
Okay. Yeah. This is ridiculous.
Jessica, what's the next myth?
Yeah. I've heard this a lot from teachers who are perhaps more familiar with TOEFL. Because on the TOEFL test, you have to take notes at some point while you're listening. Okay. Especially in those integrated speaking and writing tasks. Like, you have to take notes while you're listening. But there is no point on IELTS where you should be listening and taking notes. Because if you do this, you are missing answers. Okay. The listening test is so compact. There's no time for you to take your eyes away from the questions and actually like spend time taking notes on what you're hearing. Like that will definitely make you miss answers. Okay. Wow. So don't take notes. What you should be doing is following along, staring at those questions staring at those keywords you underline and actively predicting and listening for the answers. Okay. That takes all of your brain power and focus.
Okay.
So don't take away from that and take notes. That'll definitely make you miss answers.
If you have a dream for your life or your career and the IELTS is standing in your way, why would you waste time with free materials and no study plan? Our course offers a 30 or 60 day study plan so that you can make sure you're taking the right actions every single day. Go to IELTS.allearsenglish.com to get your trial account now. See you there. Yeah, and where the danger comes from hiring a test prep expert who seems to know TOEFL, IELTS, everything, that teacher is unlikely, they're likely to give you the same advice for both tests, right? Which
exactly.
is dangerous. That's what we're hearing here. So guys, be really careful when you choose that. Don't go online and find someone who does all those exams. That person is not going to have that depth of knowledge that you really
need. It's impossible.
Need. It's impossible, right? Because you've taken 10 years to learn IELTS.
Right.
I mean, is that person taking 10 years for TOEFL, 10 years for IELTS? No.
Exactly.
Unlikely.
Are they 60? What? Like, what have they... They've had a boring life full of test prep then. You don't want to talk to them.
Right. The lessons are going to be boring anyways.
They've been teaching test prep since World War II. You don't want that person.
So the same.
I mean, when I first got to Portland, like my family moved here and I really needed a job, And so I started teaching in a school and they gave me a TOEFL class.
Ooh.
And I'm like, oh, God. Like, it took me so long to prepare each lesson, and it was so hard, and I was panicky because I wasn't positive about what I was saying. And,
right.
You know, that's what other teachers go through.
Yeah, you're having to learn an entirely different test. That doesn't make any sense, guys. I mean, it's like the analogy of you need surgery, you're not going to hire a dentist, right? You're not going to hire an orthodontist or a dermatologist to do your heart surgery. So why would you hire a TOEFL expert to help you with IELTS or a test prep, a general test? Test prep expert. Okay. Great. Yeah. All right.
There's no such thing.
Yeah.
Okay. And then another thing that I've heard teachers say, because, it's the academic test. It has academic in the title. They think that a student must use high level academic words for everything, all the speaking and all the writing. Writing, yes. Of course. Yeah. You need academic language, of course. But for speaking part one and two, and guys, we talked about this a little bit in the past episode. If you use academic formal vocabulary to answer speaking part one and two, it's your score goes down because it's not appropriate.
Okay.
Right? It's not appropriate vocabulary because the questions are informal. Do you like riding bikes? How much sleep do you need? These questions are not like serious abstract things. Like, just answer in slang, natural idioms. Like this is what gets you that 7. You need a range. You need formal and informal.
Yeah. And that's what we need in the real world, right? When we pass the IELTS and we move on with our lives, we're going to need to be able to shift and be flexible depending on what kind of environment we're in. So it makes sense that the IELTS would ask us to do both the informal and the formal words.
Exactly. This is something you have to be sensitive to all the time.
Absolutely. Well, this is awesome. Let's run through them one more time. The 5 minutes.
Wait, there's one more.
Ooh, do we have one more?
One more. Slow down, Lindsay. Slow down. Okay. So IELTS task 1. Everybody knows how difficult and weird this is. It is weird. I don't think any time in your life ever you're going to have to write an essay like this. Okay. So some teachers, again, do not know how to do this. They don't know what the examiner looks for. How do you write about a graph of numbers, right? So instead, like, these teachers fall back on their 4-paragraph essay format, which you need in task 2, of course, like opinion and argument essays. And then they just try and use that about task 1, which is awful. You will get the worst score if you do that. So again, that's just a teacher not knowing how to do writing task 1, and only an IELTS teacher, an IELTS professional is going to be able to help you with writing task 1.
Good. And we've gone into more depth, and we will go into more depth in the future about writing task one for sure, guys. So come back to IELTS.allearsenglish.com to get and type in the search box writing task one to learn more about that. But that's awesome. So these are, guys, these are things that we want you to keep in mind. When you hear this advice from a teacher, start running in the other direction.
Yeah. Ask for a
because
refund.
Because if they're telling you one of these five myths, they're probably telling you other myths that we haven't had a chance. And the problem is that you're not going to know. And that breaks our hearts. The idea that you would spend your money and your time and risk your future goals working in a course or working with someone who's not really preparing you adequately. So guys, any final thoughts, Jessica? Anything?
Yeah. You know, I wonder sometimes we get emails from students who say they can't move beyond a 5.5. They can't move beyond a 6. But you know, I wonder if it's because they just simply don't have the right information.
Yeah.
You know, like they've taken classes that they shouldn't have. So, yeah, I mean, this is really important.
Be
you guys.
Smart when you choose your teacher. All right. Excellent. Excellent. So thanks for hanging out today, Jessica. This has been fun and we'll wrap it up for now. But let's just real quickly summarize those five myths. So the first one, the teachers tell you that you need British English on the IELTS. Number two.
My turn. Number two. Teachers tell you it's not okay to make up facts and
that's
ideas.
That's right. And number three, taking notes during the listening. The teacher tells you to take notes, which doesn't work. You don't have the time.
Again, guys, these are all myths. These are all bad ideas from teachers who do not know. Number four, you need high-level academic vocabulary for all parts of speaking and writing.
Yeah, not true. And number five, they tell you to approach task one just like any other academic essay that they learn in school.
Terrible.
Okay. All right, Jessica, let's wrap it up for today. Thanks for hanging out. We'll see you soon. All right,
bye. Thanks, Lizzie. Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the IELTS Energy Podcast from All Ears English. And if you want to get tips from Lindsay and Jessica every week on how to get a 7 on your next IELTS exam, be sure to subscribe to our podcast on your computer or on your smartphone. Thanks again and see you soon.